cover this again over in Job chapter 13 and verse 15, where the Bible says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. So Job is saying this. He said, though I've been through the slaying now, no matter what I go through, I'm still going to trust him. But I will remain, it says, or I will maintain, it says, I will maintain mine own ways before him. So Job had nothing to apologize for. Let me tell you some things about Job. Job, if you would, hated evil. The Bible says he eschewed evil. He had seven sons. He had three daughters. He was known as an upright man. Satan comes one day and he talks to God and he says, now, God, let me talk to you about this one by the name of Job, this one that says that he fears you. He said, God, what I'd like to do is I'd like to test to see how much he does love you. So God said, okay, Satan, you can do that. Matter of fact, you can remove all the hedges of protection round about him. The only thing that I'm not going to allow you to do is kill him. And so it began. All the camels stolen, all the donkeys stolen, all the oxen stolen, all the herdsmen killed, his own children died. His body was full of boils. And even his wife came up and said, look, really, haven't you had enough? And she says, and I quote, curse God and die. And so even his own wife turned against him. Now we understand that Job was an individual that put God first. Matter of fact, the Bible says, Job chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb and naked returned thither. The Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now that's easy to read, but that's hard to live when you have lived the life of Job. Job chapter 13 and verse 15, the Bible says, as I read it just a moment ago, it says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. So he's trusting in the very being and the substantiary work of Christ, and he's trusting completely in him. Job chapter 15 and verse 31, the Bible says, let not him that is deceived trust in vanity. So there's some things we ought not to trust in. Job said this in Job 35 and in verse 14, he says, yet judgment is before him. It says, therefore trust thou in him. Job chapter 8 and verse 14, he says this, says, whose hope shall be cut off. It says, whose trust shall be as a spider's web. All right? And so the trust, even though it's cut off, you ever cut off a spider's web? You go in and you just cut it. What happens? You come back the next day and it is there again. He said Job's trust, just like the spider's web, gets cut away, you come back, it's there again. Gets cut away, you come back, it's there again. Gets cut away, come back, it's there again. Don't you wish your trust was that much? Let's notice some things about this man by the name of Job. By the way, may I say, it is hard to build trust. It's a difficult thing, but it's easy to ruin. Now, how is it that we can have a trust that's not ruined? Statement number one, trust is developed as a result of good judgment and good behavior. Trust is developed as a result of good judgment and good behavior. Job chapter 35 and verse 14, the Bible says, judgment is before him, therefore it says, trust thou in him. So he said, hey, I've watched God, even though I've gone through these things, he said, I look at God, and I'm just telling you, and by the way, this is after all these things took place. He looks at God, and he says, I'm just going to tell you, his judgment is true, he didn't mess up, I can trust him. Now, that's pretty good when you know who is the one that allowed all those bad things to happen to you. And he says, I realize who it was, but I still trust him. Luke chapter 14 and verse 28, the Bible says, for which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it. All right? Most of us like to be able to live life that way. We like to be able to sit down, calculate everything out. We want it on the calendar. We want a time and a place to be able to have the event that's in our life. And we don't like it when things do not go according to our plans. We do not like to, come on, you even get upset when somebody sits in your pew section. We don't like it when people disturb our plans. You come in, you sit in the same pew, same place, every single service. You're a creature of habit. Now, no, wait a minute. And so all of a sudden you show up and somebody else is sitting. I was preaching in church one time, preaching revival, and visitors are coming and stuff like that. I watched a man come up, and he was a visitor. He walked down the aisle, and he just stood right beside the pew where he normally sits. And I thought, man, I wonder what that's all about. He told the guy to move. Now, wait a minute. And that was a visitor that was sitting there. And here was a member said, look, get out of my pew. You're in my space. We're creatures of habit. Now, we have to be careful, though, that we do not pass a wrong judgment. Job said this. He said, look, I've been tried. I've gone through the fire. But I want you to know I trust the one that has done the judgment. Pray to God that every child would look that way at his parent. Pray to God that every grandchild would look that way. Hey, pray to God that every single one of our college students would feel that way about the administration and about the procedures that's done in the college. Wouldn't it be good if all of our academy kids looked at Dr. Boakley, our principal, and said, look, I don't understand your judgment, but I trust it. I just trust it. I know you got my best interest at heart. I just trust it. Wouldn't it be good in a church family, you wouldn't get offended. As a young person, as a college student, somebody comes up and they sharply, not mildly, but sharply rebuke you. Wouldn't it be good if your Christianity went so deep that you wouldn't get offended? I'm saying tonight, trust is developed as a result of good judgment and good behavior. He said, Job, I know I'm going through it. Or he said, God, I know I'm going through it. But Job said, I can trust you. You got my best interest at heart. Statement number two, benefits of trust. What are the benefits of trust? Trust will make you blessed and happy. The Bible says in Psalm 34 in verse 8, O taste and see. Now watch what it says, O taste. Now that shows involvement. Involvement. Somebody says, well, I tell you what, I just don't trust my parents. Maybe you've not tasted of them enough. Maybe you don't know their heart enough. Maybe you're too quick to pass a judgment on them. It says, oh, taste of the Lord and see that he is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth, here you go, in him. In him. God, I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through, but you know best and I trust you. I don't know why the family's going through what it's going through, but God, I know your judgment and I trust you. God, I don't know why my finances are in a mess right now, but God, I know that you know what you're doing and I trust you. Okay? It's good to be able to feel trusted and it's good to be able to be somebody that's able to trust. Trust settles the fear problems. Notice this, over in Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2, the Bible says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust in him and it says, not be afraid. So as we trust someone, it takes away the fear. Trust makes us established, if you would please, established and strong. The Bible says in Psalm 125 and verse 1, it says, they that trust in the Lord, it says, shall be as a mount. And so it allows us to be strong. You know, when we trust in God, he's the one that helps us to be able to go forward. He's the one that shields us. The Bible says in Psalm 18 and verse 30, here we go, watch it. He says, he is a buckler unto them that trust in him. So he's the one that shields me. He's the one that protects me. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 11, the Bible says the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. All right, now wait a minute. And so there should be marriage trust, spousal trust. Psalm 112 and verse 7, the Bible says, and he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Now why? He says, because his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. So heart gives me strength when evil comes. when evil comes. It's one thing to know him as God, another thing to know him as Father, another thing to know him as friend. How do you know him tonight? How intimate tonight are you with your God? Well, you know, I just don't understand it. You don't have to understand it all. Even when you were coming up as a child, your parents didn't explain everything that they wanted you to do. They said, do it. They expected you to do it with a degree of trust. Now, if your parents expected that out of you, how much more should your Heavenly Father expect out of you? We ought to be able to trust him. Statement number one. I said that trust is developed as a result of good judgment and good behavior. Statement number two, benefits of trust. Statement number three, lying destroys trust. Lying destroys trust. Are you ready? You lie to your parents, and after a while, here's what they say about you. Can't trust them. Can't trust them. You deceive your parents, and all of a sudden, after a while, your parents say, can't trust him. Can't trust him. When you lie about things or live a deceptive life, it causes people to doubt your integrity, your character, and your trust. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 4, he says, trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. You know, here's what you find out about somebody that has trouble with lying. A lot of times, they believe it themselves because they've said it so much. They begin to follow it. They can't tell the truth from a lie if it hit them on the side of the face because they're used to living in that ditch of deception and lying. Here's what we understand. Lying is that which is like the battery acid to my pants tonight. It'll just burn away the fabric and eventually the skin. You've got to be careful about lying. Aren't you glad we have a God tonight? The Bible says that he cannot lie. So you read your Bible tonight and say, I wonder if it's true. It's true. It's true. Well, I know what's true in the Bible. It's the red words. Jesus said them. I know the red words are true. That's right. And the black ones too. It's all true. If you got purple letters in your Bible tonight, it's true. It's true. If you have pink words in your Bible tonight, you got a wrong Bible. But the words of God are true. So lying destroys trust. So that must mean that honesty builds trust. Well, you know, if my parents found out, I'd be in big trouble. It would be better for you to confess your wrong to your parents and build a lifetime of trust than to hide sin and wrongdoing, hoping you never get found out. And when you do get found out, they don't trust you anymore. It would be better to come to your mom and dad tonight and say, I just want you to know, I trust you. I trust you. Can I help you out a little bit? There was a day when God said, I need somebody to lead the Israelites. What did he do? He chose a man. The man's name was Moses. Stay with the thought. Here's what the Bible says, that Moses stood in the stead of God. What does that mean? That means that Moses stood in the very place of God. Does not your Bible teach you that you're supposed to honor them that have the rule over you? Now, wait a minute. Let's go scriptural. You ready? That means you're supposed to honor your mom and dad as they operate in the stead of God. Young person comes to me. We believe in courtship in our church. Well, the pastor believes in courtship in our church. All right, now wait a minute. Watch this. Young man comes in. Young man says, boy, I like that girl. I'd like to date her. I said, what's the dad say? What's the dad say? Now, don't get mad at me. But if the dad says no, no is no. Dad's the authority in the home. Okay, here you go. Okay, now I'm on a tantrum. Here's a teen boy. teen boy sneaks around. Are you ready? You're going to hurt the relationship forever. Brother McCarty, you love your daughters? Somebody tried to hurt one of your daughters, what would you do? You do what? You'd hurt them back. All right, now wait a minute. Now that's a natural response of a dad. Now, if that be true, why would you want to chance it? Why would you want to chance it? Can I tell you, I know where a lot of our fundamental, independent, premillennial, hellfire, brimstone, zoning, separated Baptist churches mess up. And that is this. The pastor will try to guide the young people and put them together and harness them for some dating fiasco when they're not mature enough to do it. And nobody knows the maturity level like a mom and like a dad. Nobody does. Hey, wrong, you're right? Wrong philosophy. You ready, teenagers? Wrong philosophy. Well, when I get such and such an age, I deserve to be able to do this. You don't deserve to be able to do anything apart from what mom and dad says. Wise parent will say this. Wise parent will say, hey, don't ever do this. Don't back yourself into a corner. You back yourself into a corner. Well, you know, when my young person reaches age 16, they can do this. When they reach age 18, they can do this. Why don't you go by maturity level? When you're mature enough to do it, I'll let you do it. Till you prove yourself and earn it, no way. Teenager says, I want to get my license when I'm 16. Dad says, you're not mature enough. Well, you don't get mad about that. That's not his fault. That's your fault. That's your fault. You choose to be able to handle maturity. Oh, wait a minute. Here's what we see. We see this. Lying would do this. It'll destroy trust. Honesty builds the trust. It builds the trust. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 25, the Bible says, this is thy lot. It says, because thou hast forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. He said, you forgot me, but you trusted in the falsehood things. The things that, by the way, are you listening to me? When I'm saying about obeying those that have the rule of you, loving mom and dad, I'm telling you, if it's done right, you can build a relationship that will last forever. If it's done right. If a person would decide that here's what I'm going to do, I'm not going to spend time lying about something, deceiving about something. I'm going to be honest and above board. I'm going to honor those that God has given me as an authority in my life. I'm telling you, you could have a happy home. But if mom and dad says it's going too fast, it's going too fast. Mom and dad says it's done, then it's done. Here we go. Trust is developed by the result of good judgment, good behavior. Statement number two, there's benefits of trust. You get happy as you obey God. You're blessed. There's lying that destroys trust. Statement number four, you ready? We need to trust God. We need to trust God. Now, I want to help you a little bit. You cannot be wrong with your parents and right with God. You can't. It's impossible. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to do it because I think it's right. No, you do it if mom and dad says it's right. You say, you're taking all of my creative ability away. No, it's called protection. Protection. Psalm 71 in verse 5, the Bible says, thou art my hope. It says, O Lord God, thou art my trust. It says, from my youth. From my youth. All right? So how is it that I trust God? God gives me trust, and I say, I'm going to put that trust somewhere. By the way, are you listening to me? Church of Christ will put their trust into baptismal water to take them to heaven. They'll never go, but that's where they put their trust. Some people put their trust in works, but my Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works. Lest any man should boast. But some people spend all their lives working their way to heaven or trying to. Won't make it. won't make it. The Bible says, Jesus speaking, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. One way, only one way, Christ. He that hath the Son hath everlasting life, period. Only Christ. All right? So I get saved. I put my trust in God. Now here's what I do, Brother Bulkley. Put my trust in God when I get saved. But then after I get saved, now I can't lose my salvation. Once I put my trust in Christ for salvation, sealed unto the day of redemption. It's a done deal. Name written in the book of life, covered by the blood, sealed. All right, now wait a minute. But here's what I do. I put my faith in Christ to save me, and then I take it back saying, but I'll live the way I want to live. I'll do what I want to do. I'm not going to trust you for this. So here's what God does. Stand up, Brother Nash. So God puts a youth director in your life. Come over here if you will. Stand up behind him. Hold your Bible high. Here we go. God puts a youth director in your life. God says the way that you're going to learn to trust me is through the authority that I put in your life. Okay? Brother and Mrs. Watkins, come here. Thank you, Brother Nash. Be seated. Here we go. God says, okay, I put some parents in your life. Put some parents in your life. Now, I'm going to tell you how you can trust me. Here's how you can trust me. You're going to trust me through your parents. Stand right here. You're going to trust me through your parents. I tell you the truth. Hold it high. I tell you the truth. Here's the truth. All right? God says, I expect you to trust me. You trust me through your parents. You got it? Now, sometimes some parents don't trust him. We understand that. So what do? I still want to trust God. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to trust God and trying to help my parents turn. Go ahead and turn towards God. When the parents turn towards God and I'm trusting God, hey, that's called a happy family. Yeah. When all of a sudden mom and daddy get saved, hey, don't give up on your parents. Don't give up on your parents. You be the right testimony. You be the right example. Let them see that you love the Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy strength. Let them see God active in your life. Let them see you praying at night. Hey, let them see you being obedient inside the home. Let them see your love for the Bible. Don't just attend church on Sunday, but read it on Monday. Let them see it. We're talking about that trust. Thank you. Be seated, if you will. So we understand this. We understand that God's never going to fail. We understand that we need to trust in God. Now, as we trust in God, we understand he is stable. He is stable. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, he says, for I am the Lord, I change not. We understand he never changes. Isaiah chapter 42 and in verse 4, he says, he shall not fail, nor, it says, be discouraged. Isn't that good? You have a God that's never discouraged. We understand this, that as we demonstrate our trust in God, we trust in his word. Psalm 119 verse 42 says, I trust in thy word. We understand the only way to be able to put our trust in God. Listen to it. Psalm 118 verses 8 and 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. It is better, it says, to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in princes. Wait a minute. I can put my confidence in man. I can put my trust in man when that man is operating and acting in the stead of God. Statement number next. Mistakes regarding trust. Let me give them to him. I'm almost done. Mistakes regarding trust. Here it is. Ezekiel 16 verse 15. The Bible says, thou didst trust, it says, in thine own beauty. There's a mistake. There's a mistake. Girls, I love you. I'm going to help you. When you spend more time in front of the mirror than you do before your God, that's a mistake. Well, you know, I'm just going to try and fix myself up. Not being mean, but it won't work. You can fix, come on. How many folks, you're over 30? You're over 30? Help me out. I need help with the preaching. You're over 30. You ready? And your looks have changed. It's there, isn't it? It's there. Guy says, I tell you what, I've got the physique. You won't have it forever, probably. Brother Craig started losing hair. He's about 17, 18 or so. Is that right? 17, 18 or so. Looked in the mirror one day. Started disappearing. All right, wait a minute. He didn't expect that to happen. No, wait a minute. So we all change. We get older, or we get wiser if we spend time with God, but we all change. Wait a minute. Mistakes regarding trust. Don't trust in your beauty. Don't trust in your beauty. Well, I think if I beautify myself, she says, I'll draw the right man. If you spend more time on the outside beautifying yourself, you may draw the wrong one. Now, I'm not saying be an ugly duckling. I'm not saying that, okay? I'm not saying that. Somebody said, one of the preachers said many years ago, when the barn needs painting, get out the paint. All right? So all of a sudden, when it comes time, maybe kind of paint your barn a little bit. Okay, bad statement. Trusting in wrong things can bring shame. Trusting in wrong things can bring shame. Isaiah 42 and verse 17, the Bible says, shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images. What they do? They turn back. They turn back. Oh man, he was on fire for God. What happened? Turn back. Man, he was Mr. Soul Winner. Where's he at now? Turn back. Well, I remember the day when they were so faithful. What happened? Turn back. There are people that make those choices and they turn back. Biggest mistake is trusting your own heart. Trusting your own heart. Here's what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Is a fool. The Bible says, and whosoever walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. How many times have I heard people say, well, I just feel. Right then, I say, okay, wrong decision. Wrong decision. Well, I just know it's the will of God because I feel. I'm thinking, okay, they don't know their Bible very well or confused in their terminology. Wrong decision. The will of God is not a feeling. Hello. Wait. Let me help you out just a little bit and I'm done. If you're a parent tonight, you got a young person sitting in the room here. You're a parent. You're a parent. Would you come to the front? You're a parent. 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 You got somebody sitting in the room tonight. You're a parent. Just come. Just come. That's all I want you to do. Line up at the front right here. I'm at the front. I want to show you something. Here's what we understand. God puts authorities in your life. Here's what he does. He puts authority. Just line up all the way across. You're a parent. You got a young person sitting here tonight. Line up. Here we go. I want to show you something. Now, Brother Jonathan, you go down. Brother Boca, you go down. Kind of get out there, if you will. Brother Jonathan over here. So Brother Jonathan's going to represent anybody that doesn't have a parent here tonight, right here at the front. Brother Boca, you're going to go down. You're going to represent anybody over here that doesn't have a parent here tonight. I want to show you something. As I put my trust in the authorities that God places in my life, listen to me tonight, then I'm putting, that authority has a, they have a job description. You know what the job description is? They're supposed to fear God, obey his commandments. They're supposed to lead you right. That's what they're supposed to do. I'm not saying every parent would do it, but that's what God tells them to do. That's their responsibility. Now, wait a minute. So you as a young person, what you ought to do is say, I'm going to trust God, stay with me, through my parents. Might not always agree with them, but I'm going to trust God through my parents. I'm going to trust God through my authority. through my authority. I went to Bible college. When I went to Bible college, my parents decided they wanted nothing to do with me. Stay with me for about 2 years. Write them notes, they tear them up, send them back. No longer my son. Hurtful time. Came across that verse in the Bible, says, when thy father and thy mother forsake thee, that's when the Lord shall take you in. God brought some godly people in my life. I went to them for godly counsel. And by that, I was able to build my trust to God even greater. Now, you've got to get to a point. You say, well, so-and-so hurt me. You know, I had somebody that was a friend in the church and they left the church. I love you. You got to get over it. You got to. Well, I'm bitter towards so-and-so. You got to get over it. Well, so-and-so let me down. Welcome to life. Welcome to life. God bless you. I love you. You got to get over it. So in just a minute, I'm going to pray. We're going to do something very different tonight. If your mom and dad is standing up here, your authority is standing up here, I want you to bring that tea to them. I want you just to hand it to them. I want you to trust them tonight. Now I want you to pray with them. Get down around the altar someplace as a family and pray. Maybe tonight you don't have a mom and dad here. Brother Bulkley's here for you. Brother Jonathan's here for you. And get somewhere and just pray. And say, dear God, I just want to trust you more. I just want to trust you more. And by the way, by saying you're going to trust your parents means you're going to be honest. You're going to be honest with them. You're going to be able to talk to them. You're not going to hide things from them.